So here's to all of the good thinkers, and here's to the lonely drinker. But don't you know, let this moment pass.
Hello, folks. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm an award-winning multimedia journalist and I'm the host of the Crude Life Media Network and podcast. Thank you, folks, for tuning in to The Crude Life, a place for expert interviews, full-length features, and specialty programs. And it is all thanks to our fine sponsors. Be loyal to our sponsors. They keep the program free and literally keep our lights on.
So here's to watching the clocks of our grandfathers, and here's to stopping and picking flowers, and here's to not letting this moment pass you by.
Well, good afternoon, Jason. This is Curtis Shuck, and I'm the president of Red River Oilfield Services Incorporated, located in Williston, North Dakota, the heart of the Williston Basin and the Bakken Shale Oil Play.
Quite a bit of activity up in Williston, North Dakota these days. Interviewed the airport director. They're moving the airport. I know there's quite a bit of infrastructure things happening there. We'll get into your observations of the current state of Williston in just a second. But first, you know, appreciate you coming on. Give you a nice little plug for the company. If you want to maybe talk about the genesis of the company and just kind of what you guys are all about.
You bet. Well, Red River is a 38-year-old, family-owned, Williston-based business. Started as a mud supply company back in the late 70s, and has grown into Red River Oilfield Services, a service company. We operate three rail terminals in the Williston Basin. We employ over 70 people today. We've got a fleet of trucks, a series of warehouses, and about 8 miles of track at our three facilities here in Williston. And so, we are involved in all four sectors of the oil and gas business. We're involved in drilling and exploration. We're involved in completions. We're involved in production. And we're involved in the takeaway or the midstream sectors. So we're very fortunate to call Williston our home. We know that we do business in this community under a social license, and we work very hard to be a strong community player and have a great presence in Williston and in the surrounding region. So, again, for us, as we've navigated our way through these choppy waters with strong economic headwinds, we have really focused on kind of being that strong community player, and we're fortunate because we don't get to go back to Houston, and we don't get to go back to Denver. This is where we live.
So you've been around since the early days of the Bakken, and now you're around today when there's some adjustments going on, low oil prices. Talk to me about a little bit of your takeaway from the $100 oil, and then transition into what life is like now up in the Williston.
Well, what's interesting, Jason, is as I started, out here in Williston in the early, 2012, 2011 time period, and beyond, representing the Port of Vancouver, USA. Our big mantra at that time was all about supply chain optimization and advantage supply chain. And, it was interesting during the heyday how, we'd promote these great ideas and talk about partnerships and collaborations and couldn't get hardly anybody to talk to us. And now with the advent of doing business between $40 and $50 a barrel oil, those same people that would blow us off or blow me off and boot me out of the office are lined up now to have this conversation about how we can collaborate and be partners. So, the one thing that I think is a positive takeaway from this period is that, know, those that have survived and those that are still here have found ways to work together that, you know, that normally or typically we would never have explored in 2013, early 2014, you know, before the decline started. And I mean, I can list several examples right now of companies who were our fierce competitors who are now our strong partners. And, you know, I guess the hope I have as you know, oil recovers, and I think there was some good news that was announced today with some of the OPEC positionings in terms of production levels, is that, you know, my hope is that we take these lessons that we've learned and all of this hard work that we've struggled our way through and developing these new relationships and new partnerships, and we hang on to that as we go forward. So typically it seems that we sort of, you know, when times get good again, or better anyway, that we sort of forget how we manage our way through those difficult times. I'll tell you, you know, we've got some super strong partners here in this community, and we want to make sure that we retain those lessons as we go forward.
You know, I remember a conversation you and I had back in 2012, maybe it was 2013, but it was back in the heyday when it was before, I guess, the general public really understood the importance of distribution, you know, the railway and the even the trucking industry. We're talking backbone of the economy, you know. I mean, the ability to move the goods and services, you know, the east to west, and they're getting better north to south. But one of the things that I always look at when it comes to the rail and the trucking and that sort of distribution is really, it is such an indicator for the economy. You're telling me that your business is doing pretty good and you guys are diversifying a little bit. Kind of combine those two thoughts together a little bit about how it's a very good signal what's happening through the diversity of the economy, and then also you guys having to diversify yourself.
Yeah, I mean, we've had to reinvent ourselves at just about every level, and it seems like every week, you know, we're out there trying something new or looking at how do we improve efficiencies on things that we've done, you know, that core business side. You know, one of the things that's been critical as I think as we've, you know, worked with our customers is really looked at, you know, a collaborative effort on how are we a better strategic business partner and what are their needs and how can we support them. I mean, that was really how we ended up launching into this unit train business, because the, you know, we could see the writing on the wall that the carload industry, the manifest industry, just didn't have the economics any longer to support it. You know, and yes, we're blessed that we're busy and that we've got volume running through our terminal. I mean, I have the opportunity to travel all over, you know, the Williston Basin and visit, you know, drilling sites and fracking sites and production sites. And it's clear to me that, you know, Williston, you know, that there's been a concentration of activity back to the core in the city of Williston itself. And so we're very fortunate that we're here, but I would tell you that, you know, we've had to make some significant price concessions, as has everyone, to stay in the business. And, you know, and I think that's indicative of those survivors, if you would, that are still here doing it, is that we've worked really hard together to, you know, to manage cost and to, you know, sort of have this open book approach of how we're going to develop our pricing. But we've also done that with the intent that as price recovers, that, you know, for instance, several of our customers and ourselves have landed on indices that will allow us to adjust price as, for instance, WTI prices increase. You know, we feel that it's fair that, you know, as we kind of manage our way, you know, through this struggling time on the price side, that we also talk about the upside potential and how do we deal with that when it comes. And so I think that's a pretty fair assessment of those people who we're still in business today here in the Williston Basin. And, you know, one of the things that I get a little kick out of and also a little bit worked up over is the fact that the mainstream media will paint Williston as being a bust town. And, you know, the fact that the economy is flat and, you know, all I would say is that all you need to do is drive to Williston or fly into Williston and come visit me at my office and tell me if you think that that's really true. You know, we're actually adding rigs right now. The number of drilled but uncompleted wells is still significant. We're seeing, you know, quite a bit of activity, you know, even now in the fourth quarter, which typically we'll see, you know, a little bit of a reduction. So, you know, we're far from out of the game. I think it's just learning to be more efficient right now in this time period and really relying on those partners. So,
now, Curtis Shuck, Red River Oil Field Services. Do you guys only do oil and gas related, I guess, docking or transport, or do you guys do agriculture and other things too?
Well, I would tell you is we've been being creative through the downturn. We've ventured into other sectors. We were fortunate enough this year to do two renewable energy wind energy projects. The first actually in northwestern North Dakota, a project up in near Tioga. You know, we looked at that as an opportunity to diversify our business. I mean, some of that came, you know, from having those port relationships. But I would tell you it was a great opportunity for this community and for our company to venture into, again, some of these other sectors. I think one of the takeaways, Jason, was the fact of how co-reliant those two industries really are on one another. In fact, had it not been for the oil and gas development in northwestern North Dakota, the wind energy projects would not have been possible just because the infrastructure was not in place. And so, you know, one of the nice things that's happening right now out there is that oil and gas is really delivering that backbone infrastructure. We are working on several agricultural product opportunities right now. And I would tell you again, that is just core business for this region. And, you know, Stony Creek Rail Yard here in Williston is really, you know, we view it as not just an oil and gas distribution center, but we see it really as Williston's gateway to global commerce. And so we've been working really hard with the city, with the Economic Development Corporation in Williston Basin here, and with other local businesses to, you know, really see how we can develop that advantage for transportation into and out of the Williston Basin. So yeah, long-winded answer to your question is absolutely, we're our heart and our roots are in oil and gas, but I would tell you that that we're expanding into every sector right now.
How's technology impacting you guys? I mean, obviously, I imagine in the administration area, it certainly helped in the spreadsheet department. But how about out in the yard and in the field and other places?
You know, we're still working our way through that. You know, there's always a challenge of adopting new technology. You know, so much of what we do is kind of boot on the ground type of labor. But I would tell you that we do business with, you know, really in the global economy. We have customers from all over the globe. You know, a lot of work on inventory management systems, on reporting systems, on quality control and testing. And so, you know, we're entering into some new realms that we've never really been before. So it's been exciting for us in that regard. And you know, we've got some new systems that we're working with right now. And, you know, so, you know, for instance, you know, five years ago, we didn't have a logistics department. Well, now we have about five people that manage our global logistics right now. And each of our customers has an individual and unique requirement in terms of inventory management and reporting. So, you know, we've had to adopt systems, we've had to develop systems. So, yeah, technology in the oil field, technology in just the transportation sector itself is absolutely critical and is going to be more and more a part of what we do going forward.
Interesting to see the side of the balance. You know, you got all the technology in the tankers and in the vehicles and in the trains and all these different things. So what you've got is the side that takes all that information and disseminates it out to those people that need it, huh?
Absolutely. And, you know, everybody needs it in real time. And, you know, our operation here in Williston is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know, we, you know, we're reporting inventory several times a day to customers who are, you know, having to manage, you know, their activities and be able to bill in real time. So it's, yeah, it's a fun opportunity right now. And I think that as we, you know, bring new systems online or adopt other customer systems, that, you know, it just makes us a stronger player at the end of the day. And it's, you know, it's a challenge for sure as we're, you know, as we're upping our game. But, you know, we see that as critical to our future and to the future viability of the Williston Basin. So,
but any final thoughts, anything that we left out that you want to make sure that the people know about?
Well, it's an exciting time in the Williston Basin, and, you know, for sure, don't rule us out. You know, there's a lot left to give here. I think you're going to see that we're going to continue to optimize and develop these partnerships that are going to make this play strong. You know, we've got several infrastructure projects that are in the works right now that are going to make getting our products to market way more efficient. You know, we know that they're still going to be crude by rail moving and NGLs by rail, but we're looking forward to some of the value-added aspect, some of these projects that are teeing up to come online here in the Williston Basin. And it's fun because it's really kind of an opportunity for this play to mature. We're seeing a lot more major players come in to the basin right now, which gives us confidence that we're here for the long haul. So, no, we appreciate the opportunity to do business in the city of Williston.
And here's to the sound of one hand clapping. And here's to not letting this moment pass. And here's to carrying the weight of the world. And here's to screaming, yeah, never being heard. And here's to not letting this moment pass.
My name is Otis, and I am the host of the Kids in Capitalism KidCast. Let me tell you about one of our sponsors. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Call Eric Hatch or anyone on the Hatch Realty team with any real estate question. They want to be a resource and connection for you. That's Hatch Realty, 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Hatch Realty, tell them Otis sent you.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
Oil and gas industry is coming back, and you need a source to keep up to date on the industry. Check out Oil Man, the magazine for leaders in the American energy industry. Each issue gives you a competitive edge with the latest oil and gas news. In addition to the news and analysis, the Oil Man brings you exciting features, publishes photos from yesteryear that chronicle the history of the oil and gas industry. Visit oilman.com to learn more and subscribe today. That's theoilman.com.